Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Pastors tend to love the ending of that story. I certainly do. Jesus' friends recognize him in the breaking of the bread. They recognize him in the very thing that we do right here, in this very room, Sunday after Sunday. See, we love to say, it's about communion. And it is. There's no doubt that Luke tells this story in a way that points to the sharing of bread and wine that quickly became one of the central defining practices of Christian communities. Just a couple of chapters earlier, Luke recounted how Jesus spent his last night with his disciples. He took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to them, and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And in our reading today, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it and gave it to them. Took, blessed, broke, gave. It all lines up so beautifully. See, it's about communion. And it is. The communion table is one of the great anchors in our lives as Christians. In the midst of all of life's confusion and challenge and change, all of the storms that swirl around and within us, this table is a place of promise. Here, we have the assurance that Jesus meets us in bread broken and blessed and shared, in wine poured out, in a community gathered around words and gestures of grace. We are promised that Jesus is present. We're promised he's present at this table to feed us, to sustain us, to include us, to form us. He's present here to send us out to feed others as we've been fed, to share the abundance of love and life we experience in his company. He is present here for you, for us, for the whole world. The disciples recognize him here in the very thing that we do together, week upon week. It's such a beautiful, powerful image. Like I said, pastors tend to love the ending of this story. So much so, in fact, that I think we sometimes just sort of jump right there, like I just did, which I think is actually a mistake. Because while the story clearly is about communion and how Jesus is there to be met, it is not only about that. There are so many fascinating details, so much to linger with along the winding road to that table at the end. Starting with those two disciples who are making their way from Jerusalem. We know nothing about Cleopas. He's not one of the 12 that we hear about so regularly, and the other disciple isn't even named. While readers have tended to picture two men walking along the road here, there is no reason that the other disciple could not be a woman. Many recent scholars have suggested we should perhaps picture a couple here, Cleopas and his wife, fleeing Jerusalem in the wake of Jesus' betrayal, crucifixion, and death. Whoever they are, these are two marginal characters at best, certainly not Jesus' closest companions. I love the way author Debbie Blue imagines the peripheral place these two might have had in the larger group. Maybe they always kind of sat at the edge of the meals, she says, near the door where they could slip outside to smoke when the discussions got long-winded. Maybe they were the type to walk at a distance from the official group, making jokes, muffling their laughter. We know nothing about these two, except that they are deeply disappointed. We'd hoped he was the one to redeem Israel, they tell the guy who joins them on the road. We had hoped. What tragic words those are. We had hoped things were really going to change. We had hoped justice and mercy were on the way. We had hoped the tyrants were not going to succeed. We had hoped the story was just getting started. We had hoped, but it's all over now. There's nothing to do but go back home. That's a detail that we cannot miss in this story, I think. Jesus does not sidle up next to members of the religious or political leadership here, or to his closest friends, or to people who are perfectly confident and full of righteous certainty, but to a couple of really minor characters, stunned and traumatized by the events of the past days. They are two disappointed disciples who've lost hope and don't know what to do next. And Jesus himself came near and went with them. It's almost unbelievably beautiful. Please notice that. These are not big shots or heroes, but ordinary folks with dashed hopes who might pretty closely resemble you or me much of the time. And at first, Jesus seemed to them simply a stranger. That's the word that's used here. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days? The disciples ask their companion on the road. He is a stranger to them at this point, someone they do not recognize, someone who is unfamiliar, unknown, unexpected. I don't think the language is accidental here, because if Jesus can come among us as a stranger, then there is no telling where we will find him. The possibilities are endless. He could meet us anywhere. Many of you know that our congregation is going to be holding its annual Harvest Festival a week from now. We're going to be raising funds for two projects beyond our community, one that's here in Geneva and one in Ethiopia. We're used to hearing facts and figures and information for programs like these, and you'll find some of that information in your bulletin, and I hope you'll take a look later. But in the spirit of today's gospel reading, I've asked two members of our congregation, Lukiru and Elaine, to introduce us to these two projects in a very particular way, sharing a few words each about where, in these places, in these people, they have seen Jesus in their midst.
Agora is the aumônerie genevoise ecumenique auprès des requérants d'asile et des réfugiés, people who are seeking asylum here in Geneva. It's a faithful presence alongside those asylum seekers at Geneva Airport, at the center, at the Geneva Airport Center, and also there is at the Grand Saconnet Asylum Seeker Center. Agora is meeting people at the moment of when they are in deep uncertainty. Agora is offering listening, presence, accompaniment, and a space of peace, always with respect for the among us cultural and religious diversity of the people that are coming there. I got to know Agora here in this church when we had already the presence here, and then with some of you, I went for a meal with them, and there was communion at that meal. And since this year, I started a volunteering with them every week. And I experienced there much more than just working, helping others. It is about communion. We don't stand above those who are in need and seeking for help. It feels really like walking with, alongside, accompaniment. And in conversation sometimes in broken French, sometimes in Spanish, this conversation is in communion. And sometimes just sitting there in silence while they are waiting for someone professional to write a letter to the official authorities here in a good French. Something mutual is happening at this moment. It seems always to me that the boundaries of the one who is there to help and the one who is there to get help is always broken. It's also fading, because meeting in silence and in conversation, that presence is about being humans, human being with dignity, equal. One person shared his own story, and I wanted to share a little bit what he said, his testimony. He was in prison in his country, and he had to flee during the night. He had to flee without telling his family. So he came alone, and he arrived here in Geneva exhausted and alone. And I think alone is the word that I have most heard these days with talking to these people, to them. And then finally he found out Agora and the church. And he says, they helped me to breathe again. And this breathing again is just because he found people listening, sitting with them, and talking with him. Through this accompaniment, he learned French. He found community, and finally he decided to be baptized. And then he called this moment of baptism, there I started a new life. At Agora, I have met Christ in those stories, in that conversation, when I listen, when I walk with them, when we share our life together every week. Here, the stranger is not just a file, is not just reduced to a legal file. He is recognized as a person, as beloved of God. In welcoming the stranger, we discover that Jesus is already here. It's just that we need to recognize him.
Thank you. Thank you. As we continue to reflect on different ways we meet Jesus, I am privileged to share this story that I witnessed in March. I work with the Lutheran World Federation, and I visited northern Ethiopia, a place that has been ravaged by war in the last several years. So I visited Tigray, in a center where more than 1,000 women and adolescent girls regularly converge. They come in shifts because the center is not big enough to accommodate all of them at once. Some come from far, several kilometers, they walk almost half a day, and some from nearby villages. Some of them come with a relative accompanying them because it's unsafe along the way, and many come with their young children because they cannot leave them at home. All of them are welcomed in this facility. There is no fees, there is no prior appointment needed for them, and nobody judges them and asks them to explain their bruises and the appearance that is showing on them that they are going through a difficult moment. So each is listened individually and supported to shape their own healing and recovery journey. In this center, there are guards, there are social workers, there are nurses, there are protection officers. There are people who have all been trained and are listening to these people. And in our conversations, they said, because there are many more women in the villages, far and near, who cannot make it to this facility to get accompanied along with healing and recovery, they have opened up smaller centers outside, in the villages where they can be reached closer to their homes, because there are those who are disabled, there are some who are very elderly, there are some who are very sick, they cannot make it to the safe space that has been established. They are trying to leave no one behind. I was moved to see, physically at the center on that day, a lot of people going through very difficult moments, and it struck me really the ugly effects of war and violence, especially on women and children. But what touched me the most, really, is the women and the adolescent girls who are affected by war and violence themselves, but who carried each other in this very difficult situation. So when a woman arrived who was weaker or more shaken, they stopped at this and allowed her to go forward. Let her go first, they said. She needs it more today than me. If you looked at the person offering that, extending that love, you'd probably wonder whether that's really true, but that was remarkable for me. That a person in search of personal healing and recovery, yet they are selfishly prioritizing the healing and recovery of others. This experience taught me really how women are choosing compassion over competition in a situation where there are scarce resources and support for everyone. And no one told them to do that. At the center, we saw names and pictures of people who have been identified for, let's say, additional support because they are accompanied with psychosocial support and shaping their healing journey. But some are supported a little bit extra with cash grants and other support to really enhance their resilience. And it's difficult to arrive at any list because there are many, many more people who deserve. But they have publicly displayed there the list of those who have recommended, and everybody is willing to yield space for a more vulnerable person. In that compound, love was not theory. It was practical. It reminded me the words of Jesus, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Thank you.
In a few moments, we will gather around this table like we do every week. And like always, there is the promise that Jesus is here to be met, here to be recognized. Yes, that is right. It is a promise to cling to and to hold dear. But do not think for a moment that this is the only place where Jesus might be met. In Luke's story, he's there in the breaking of the bread, yes, but he is there in all sorts of other places besides. In the walking along the road, in the patient listening, in the struggling together to understand, in the warmth of hospitality, in the coming, the leaving, the staying, in the hearts burning with recognition and love. Jesus comes as a stranger. So maybe it's not a bad thing to read this story backwards. We tend to Jesus' presence here at the table where he promises to meet us so we might be ready to recognize him in all the other places where he is besides, in all the varied and strange and unexpected experiences and actions and people where he shows up. I want to leave you this morning with an old Irish prayer. We sing it sometimes, but this morning I invite you simply to listen and to hear the wonder of Easter in these words, the promise that Jesus is not simply a wise teacher from long ago, but the one who, freed from death, is there to be found in this life, in this world, in grace all around us. Christ be with me. Christ within me. Christ behind me. Christ before me. Christ beside me. Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ in quiet. Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Thanks be to God. Amen.